Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 5th day of November, Anno Domini 2022, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
Ta-da! Aha.
Here it is. We have no Steve Ray today, so at some point, I'm a little late getting myself set up. I'm channeling Steve, clearly. I will see if I can get on to StreamYard and get this thing going. But at the moment, I'm a little behind.
No,
we're... And I apologize, not that I have a little behind, but I am a little behind. And we'll see what happens.
Oh, one other thing, though, before we get into it, we should remind folks at the top of this hour, and we'll do it again in the next hour, is... This is the evening that we fall back an hour.
Right.
Hopefully, if they ever decide next year, it's still slated for next year to finally end all this stuff. But, hey, a lot of stuff could still happen. But for right now, as of midnight tonight, you've got to fall back 1 hour. So if you don't get to do that, you might be getting up an hour early. And if you head off to church, you might be sitting there by yourself.
That's exactly right. So make sure you set, your phone, your computer, your smartwatch, all of that stuff will happen automatically. But if you're one of those people who actually has some sort of other clock available somewhere.
Well, even the clocks on the microwaves and your stove. I mean, I've
got car.
The hardest one for me is the I built the grandfather clock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I literally have to stop the pendulum, set up a timer, and I set it for 58 minutes. So then I can go back downstairs and restart it because
it's the easiest way to do it. Now, what do you do in the spring?
Oh, that's easy. That one you can slowly advance it. You know, you just can't whirl it around because at the top of the hour is this full chime, but each quarter, like quarter, half, three quarters, there's semi-chimes. So you got to slowly let it do that, play through it, go down to the half hour, let it play the thing, go on to the next one, and then check what time it is and
set that.
Yeah, then you're set.
I've still got a couple of clocks that don't reset themselves automatically.
Me too, alarm clocks.
Many of ours are, I've got a couple of Google Home units that actually have a clock on them, so they reset themselves.
Oh,
so cool. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's it.
I got them from one of the big box stores under their own brand
name. Well, like even my watch, I got to sit there and set it back.
This one's automatic, so... Yeah, you get that extra hour of sleep, or if you're like me, to stay awake and do more stuff. And that's kind of good. In the meantime, I will read the news while you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. The Twitter saga, like a very badly written soap opera, or I suppose like the Twilight Saga.
Yeah, really.
Continues to play out in some crazy ways. Whether or not you use the platform yourself, it is insanely influential and it behooves all of us to pay some attention to it. Back in January, Elon Musk started buying up Twitter shares. By April, he was Twitter's largest shareholder. That's when he agreed to join the board. Oops, just kidding. 5 days later, he changed his mind. Instead, he announced his intention to buy the company. At that point, the board of directors adopted a poison pill provision, which is a plan that potentially makes it harder for Musk to acquire the company. Musk then lined up $46.5 million in financing and announced his plan to buy the company. He even cashed out over $8 billion of his own Tesla stock, and Twitter agreed to be bought, So Musk raised another $7 billion. Billion with a B again. Then the deal went on hold. Then Musk was accused of breaking a non-disclosure agreement. Then Musk threatened to walk away from the deal and then actually tried to do so, at which point Twitter sued Musk. Then a whistleblower who was at one point Twitter's head of security testified before Congress that Twitter failed to safeguard users' personal information and exposed the most sensitive parts of its operation to too many people, including potentially to foreign spies. After much back and forth, Musk finally bought Twitter on the 27th of October for $44 billion.
That's more money than brains.
Yeah, exactly. At which point, he immediately fired CEO Parag Agrawal, CFO Ned Segal, and policy head Vijay Gadda. He stopped the staff from policing content, so any lies or incitements to violence anyone wanted to spew would get through. He says he wants to restore all banned accounts, many of whom were banned for inciting violence against America and fomenting insurrection, as well as just telling outright lies. Oh, did I mention he dissolved the board? Yesterday, he fired a bunch of people without notice, which also triggered a lawsuit. And finally, if you want one of those once coveted blue check marks, which means you've been verified to really be who you say you are on Twitter, it'll cost you $8 a month.
He's got to make money somewhere when you dole out $45 billion.
Well, the big thing is because he got rid of all the safeguards and now Twitter is full of lies and fomenting insurrection and all that stuff, yeah. Most of their advertisers have backed out.
Oh, yeah.
They've all quit.
Yeah, they've. Well, one, he threw out that comment about Nancy Pelosi's husband.
Yep.
Oh, the right then and there, all of a sudden, all the sponsors in that were lining up. And it's like, wait a minute, you're going to pull this. We're backing out.
That's exactly
so
right.
He is going to be bleeding money big
so
time.
He can have his little free speech platform. That's perfectly acceptable. Yep. He can do what he wants on it.
It's free country.
But nobody's going to give him money for it.
Oh, heck no.
So it's a hobby now. It's no longer a business. It's a $45 billion hobby. Good for him. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is the Twitter saga continues. And your choices are, I'll stick with it, I'll reserve judgment for now, I'm done with it, never had it, never will, meh, and of course, other. So far we have 21 votes, and I'll reserve judgment for now and never had it, never will. Are tied. I should have put, I'll go get an account immediately now. At any rate.
I got to vote in it because I never have, never will use Twitter. I mean, it's probably because of my age, but it's just not my gender thing to do, you know, my generation to do this type of stuff.
I followed my daughter onto Twitter, onto Facebook, and then onto Twitter and now TikTok and Instagram. And so, you know, I follow where my daughter goes so I can, you know, see you once in a while. But that's about it. Anyway, you may have more to say about this. I suspect you will. So you can either tweet it or you can head on over to our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least the number one item under poll discussion is 5 November 22. The Twitter saga continues. And of course, about that or any other subject, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
And I mean, that's got to be killing him right now is because, you know, to put out $45 billion and, you know, have all these other investors really getting ticked off because of what he's polling.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're going to back out, too, and, you know, probably potentially cause him a lot of pain. A lot of pain right where it hurts, the pocketbook.
Yep. And, well, like I said, you know, he has the right to do what he wants with his platform, and other people have the right to not be there. And there are lots and lots of other social media platforms. There's, you know, LinkedIn, Alignable, Mastodon, Tribal, Counter Social, Instagram, TikTok, there's Reddit, there's Discords, there's massive amounts of stuff, and that's the sort of competition he's up against. And many of them feel that the way that he's running Twitter right now is toxic, and he doesn't and they don't want to be in a toxic environment. You know, we're already seeing hate speech. We're already seeing calls to violence, and people don't want that. So that's where we stand at the moment. And we'll see what happens. You know, like I said, he's got the right to put whatever he wants on his platform. But other people have the right to not be there
and not pay to sponsor it,
and certainly not pay to sponsor it or for the blue check mark. That's ridiculous. All right, our first caller is Wayne from Irondequoit, New York. What's up, Wayne?
Well, I have a question for Dave Enright.
Okay.
And I went on a site, and I'd like to get some work done, and the phone number doesn't work.
Because I'm no longer in business.
Oh.
Is your site still up?
No, it shouldn't be.
Well, apparently it is, still is.
Oh.
Well, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
Who do you know that might be able to help me out with some Linux?
With Linux?
Yep.
What sort of problems are you having?
Well, my OS is dying, and I'm using...
Wait a minute, let's back up. What OS are you talking about?
Okay. I'm currently using Ubuntu.
Okay.
And it's dying. So what I
how is it dying?
I got a thumb drive, and what I wanted to do was put my home directory on it, so then I can put a brand new OS in, and then reinstall my home.
Wait a minute, what version of Linux are you using?
I got an Ubuntu, and it's probably about 4 years old, something like that.
And when you say dying, what do you mean by dying?
Well, what I think has happened is that I was doing updating with it.
Uh-huh.
And I think something got corrupted, and it's been getting worse all the time. It's down to the point now where it keeps telling me that my root directory is getting smaller and smaller.
Oh, okay. You probably have never run auto remove. If you go into the, well, you would think, well, if it's an older version, it won't do this.
Yeah, it might not.
If you go into the command line.
Okay.
And type sudo, S-U-D-O.
Yes.
Space apt, A-P-T.
Okay.
Space auto remove. All one word, auto remove.
Okay.
Hit enter. It'll ask you for your password.
Right.
Your login password, which isn't root, right? It's whoever you are.
Right.
And it should come up and say, you know, here's a bunch of files that I can remove. You'll save, in your case, probably 800 meg of disk space. And do you want to do this, yes or no? You say yes. And what it does is removes all the old files that are no longer used by any of the programs. Mostly in your case, they will be old versions of the operating system.
Okay.
So anytime you do an update, I thought, but it might only be the latest versions that do this.
Yeah,
if you've never
depending on what version he's running right now.
Right. So if you've never done a distribution upgrade, that is to say upgraded from like 1604 to 2204,
mm-hmm.
Then you might not have this built in, so you have to do it by hand. But try that first, see what happens. Sudo apt auto remove.
And auto remove, is that all
one word? Yeah, auto remove is all one word.
Okay.
And that will clear out any files that are no longer referenced by your software. And that could be not only the operating system, the old versions of the operating system, but also programs that you may have removed or whatever. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of possibilities there. After you do that, see how you're doing, right?
Okay.
But if you do need to update, if you do need to wipe and reinstall, then the thing to do is to just get a thumb drive. And put it in the drive. It should come up automatically, and you can just drag and drop all your home files to it.
There's a lot of files there.
Well, that's what you do. You need a big enough thumb drive or multiple thumb drives to get all of your files. And once those are there and you verify that they're there, by opening a couple of documents or text files or something just to make sure everything came over fine, then set those aside and then you can, reinstall Ubuntu, with a newer version.
Well, part of the problem is that thumb drive that I have, it's set up for MS-DOS. That's what it tells me under properties.
Well, Wayne, thumb drives are like $5. Okay, you're going to have to buy a few.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but there's no magic.
Okay.
Okay, buy a few thumb drives.
You can get such big ones now for dirt cheap.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, so buy a few thumb drives, copy your stuff onto them. They should automatically work. Ooh, this just fell apart, and I mean fell apart. Wow. Oh, that's just a sleeve. Okay. At any rate, you should be able to deal with that without any real trouble in terms of you stick the thumb drive in, you copy stuff over to it, you're done.
Okay. All righty. Well, that gives me something more to work on. I appreciate it very much.
Yep. Thank you. Have fun.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Oh, he didn't... I didn't tell him who he could talk to if he needed somebody else to do it for him. But he'll call back next week if that doesn't work, and then we can put him onto somebody. That'll work. Ubuntu works like every other operating system. It needs a certain amount of disk space, and there are often some old files that just get left lying around. Luckily, Linux in general, and certainly Ubuntu, has the auto-remove command.
Which is a good way to clean things up.
Right, which has to be run as the super user, which is what sudo does. Super user do, S-U-D-O. And so you can say sudo apt auto-remove. And that's all one word, auto-remove. And that will clean up pretty much everything there is to clean up and probably give you plenty of disk space back. I do that regularly. Some older version, you used to have only one choice, which was when Linux installed, it created a partition for the boot sector, which was not particularly big.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ubuntu's not that big anyways.
Well, right. But it did that. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you can often just say, give me the whole disk for Ubuntu, depending on your thing. And then it'll, if they grow, they grow. And you've got, a terabyte to grow into. But even so, every once in a while, it does not hurt to do an auto remove and see what goes away. Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yep.
Those files, by the way, are not being used, but they're still sitting on the drive. They're not interrupting anything. They're not.
They're just taking up space.
They're just taking up space. And if you've got it set up in the old way with a limited amount of space for your boot sector, then you have to go in and get rid of them. And the easiest way is to use auto remove, because if you do it by hand, you're not going to get everything. You're not going to update grub properly or any of that stuff. So do an auto remove. All right. Our next caller is Brian from Gates, New York. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Well, I never thought I'd get this kind of a problem, but here's something different for you.
Okay.
I have a Chromebox and a Chromebook.
Right.
My Chromebook is working fine, no interruptions, even though on my box I'm getting, and I cannot get rid of, something from blueskymotions.com about system is infected, critical virus alert, activate McAfee antivirus, critical virus alert, and I get it like every 10 seconds.
Okay, what have you installed lately on your Chromebox?
Nada.
Have you rebooted your Chromebox?
Yes.
And it's still there?
Yes. And there was an update that was pushed through, Thursday?
Yeah.
And I rebooted it like they tell you to do.
Yeah.
And it came right back up.
Okay, then the thing to do is to go look at the extensions in
Chrome
itself.
All right.
And that's under the three dots menu, more tools, extensions. And you'll probably find one that you don't remember installing.
Right.
It just did it for you because they knew you were, just burning to do it,
right,
but didn't have the time to do it or consider it.
And at the very least, deactivate it with the little blue toggle switch.
Yep.
Or, uninstall it. But if you see, most people have very few of them. I've got a bunch. Cheese and crackers.
Yeah, I would suggest first turning the different, ones that you're suspicious about, turn them off first.
Right. Don't delete them.
Do it one at a time. And then that way you can go back and check to see if that alleviates the problem. Then sort of detective work, which one might be the culprit.
Yeah, because it comes in different formats. This is three different notifications. Sometimes it's a big box that says your system is infected and you got to do this right now. And I never listen to those. I want to find out what they mean first.
Right.
It is
vanishingly unlikely that you have any sort of
virus
in your Chromebook.
Not in a Chromebook.
It's just a nuisance at this point, but that's the way to get rid of it. I'm sure it's an extension.
Yep.
And you just have to get rid of that.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. But, I agree. I'm going to say, how is my system infected? I know I'm on Chrome.
Right.
And it ain't going to happen.
Right.
And it was not transmitting over to my Chromebook, because the two machines are linked.
Right.
So it's got to be
One thing you can do is turn both on, take a look at the settings in both, see which extensions are on one and not on the other.
Not on the other. Okay, that's a good idea.
There you go.
All right. We'll see.
All right.
I'll call back next week.
Or later today.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, there's a whole... Currently, unless, of course, Brian's a pioneer, currently, at least, there are no viruses for Chrome OS or Chrome OS Flex that we know of. However, there are still an insane number of scams out there. You could get hit by, as Brian likely has been, a scam. Again, that's got to come through something like an extension. So check your extensions. And so I had one guy who was adamant that he'd gotten a virus. And what it was is he had installed a toolbar.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he was installing something else, it said, do you want this toolbar? And he just went, yep.
Well, like I say, people get click happy.
Right.
They don't take the time to read.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff, if you're even, putting it in there, it'll ask, or doesn't even ask, it'll just automatically, throw it in there.
So, So basically, he had a toolbar, and the toolbar was doing its thing, which was to give him all kinds of warnings and call this number and you're infected and you're going to die. Your machine's going to blow up. All that nonsense. So we just got rid of the toolbar and poof, his problem went away. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to you when we come back. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just a couple of minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we...
There it is.
Yeah, there you go. Now it's there.
It's so hot. Oh, well.
Pro tip. All right, mic is working. Click here to play the video. I'm getting into StreamYard now, I think.
You hope?
I'm pretty sure. All right, there we are. I think we're here. We haven't started yet. But theoretically, this should be working, I think. I'm not seeing...
Not seeing any smoke. No magical smoke. He's trying to get the video back up, folks.
What the heck is this?
He indicated before, Steve Ray is not with us this week. And it's up to us to at least try to get some of it up and going.
Oh, I'm waiting for the host to add me to the broadcast. Okay, right. I get it. Okay, we can wait for that. In the meantime, we'll go back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Hey, I just want to thank you guys for being there.
Thank you.
First of all, and, you know, remind everybody it's still okay to go and donate.
Always.
I've gotten good advice from you in the past, and advice that I couldn't even get from the manufacturer.
Hey, at least we got one, right?
Advice that worked. I've been using NPass for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the premium version.
Yep.
And of recent, when I open up my NPass on my mobile device,
mm-hmm.
pretty much all I use anymore. Every once in a while, I use Chromebook, but
sure,
mobile devices, just about everything, with me all the time. I keep it is going back to did I have a trial mode? Do I want to upgrade? And I've tried several things. Uninstalling the app and reinstalling the app works, but takes a lot of steps.
Now, you point. I have all my passwords and everything else stored on the Google Drive because that's free.
Yep,
and
yep.
Point, and you got to make sure that whether it's a laptop or a phone or a desktop or a tablet or whatever, that it's got to point to that tablet or the drive on the Google Drive under that ID.
Yep, that all works.
Okay.
When I reinstall it, it all comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other option is when you click on update. Or upgrade, add 15 more. So I go on, I click on add 15 more because I've got 120 different things in there that are saved for all different, you know, websites and
mm-hmm. Smart move, smart move, yeah.
All that. So if I click on add 15 more, and I put in my email address and click on all that,
yeah,
go through all those steps, everything comes back like normal. I've got all 120-some
passwords
available. Everything is working just fine. And maybe the next day it goes back to, when I open it up, it goes back to trial mode again. And I've had this problem for several weeks now, and I've been dealing with customer service, and they're not getting anywhere with it. Didn't know if you guys had any, if there's something wrong with my, I have a Samsung device. Android, latest, everything's updated.
Mm-hmm.
Apps are all updated. It's a.
Why
it's
do
a
you? Just a question. When you say you're adding 15 more, adding 15 more, what?
It gives you when you click on the upgrade button. Although there's no upgrade for the premium version. But it says I have a trial version. At the head, at the top of it says only 10 available, upgrade. So I click on the upgrade, and it gives me the option of seeing the different options or just adding 15 more passwords.
That doesn't make sense. You never have to add more. It's always there, no matter, once you open NPass up. If you go up to the upper right-hand side, there's a plus bar, and you can add accounts randomly. There's no add 15, no add 15.
No, it says that I can only see 10 of my passwords because it's a trial version. It's coming up as a trial version instead of the premium. When I open the app, mm-hmm. it says that I'm in a trial version. But I'm not. I don't have a trial version. I have a full paid, and it's been working perfectly for a year.
What's changed?
Around September, they had an update.
Who had the update?
That's about NPAS.
Okay.
And that's about when the problem started happening. But I can't say specifically. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm, you know, that's about when it started happening. And before it was like maybe once a week, once every few days, I would open it up and it would say trial version. And I have to go through these hoops to get back to my mm-hmm. full premium version. Well, if I pretend like I'm going to use the trial version, but I'm going to pay something to get, instead of just 10, I'm going to get 25. I'm allowed to have 25. On the trial version, you're only allowed to have 10. So if I click on that upgrade to add 15, be allowed to see 15 more, use 15 more passwords, it all comes back to the full 120. It comes back to my premium. It comes back to everything. Comes back, but I have to go through all those steps every almost.
Yeah, no, they sounds like they day. Something messed up something with their code.
Yeah, that's what I'm. That's what I'm.
Yeah, I mean because, you know, you're not really changing anything. You're just telling it. Oh yeah. So yeah, it's got to be at their end. I would pressure them. It's like, hey, it was working before you guys did your update.
Yep.
And I've been, you know, using it a long time. Can you get back to the older version?
I wouldn't know how.
Ask them. Ask them if they've got a an older version that you could download and put back in and just avoid the update.
Yeah, that's yeah. I usually just run through and, you know, update everything that you know, in the Google Play Store.
Yep.
And on my, you know, my system, I check for updates on the
NPAS. Well, also check on the NPAS website to see if they've got any previous versions.
Okay, I can.
They might have an older version there because I've run into that a couple different software packages that I've run, you know, been using. All of a sudden, they're working fine, but then they, you know, oh, we're adding this new feature. And then it breaks six other things, and it's like, oh, no, wait a minute, I want to go back.
Yeah.
And I even had one company, due to my suggestion, is like, you know, hey, you're not giving your users a way to at least go back to the one last previous version, and magically, within a couple of days, they added a link to go back to the older version of the software, just in case, because, you know, it's not going to be perfect for everybody, and depending on how they've got their system set up, things can break. And, you know, if you got to be able to go back to at least what was working.
One of my many exchanges with their customer service suggested that I clear out cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, and it didn't help, but what it did do is made it so I had to re-enter everything.
Yeah.
You know, didn't autofill like it was supposed to anymore, and my pass putting my
what that sounds that. What that sounds like if you reinstalled it and didn't automatically get your stuff down, it sounds like one of two things. Either on your home and pass, you're not saving it somewhere in the cloud so that your Android system can find it, or you used a different username password combination.
No, if I uninstall the app and reinstall it, it works fine for a minute. It works fine maybe for the day.
Are you installing it from Google Play or from Samsung Play?
Google Play. And it you know, I uninstall it and I reinstall it, and you know, you go through all the steps of installing it. You know, there's several steps.
Yeah.
And my phone is not the fastest, and neither is my Metro internet. It does come back 100%. Everything's there. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, good. I'm in good shape. And the next morning I go to check, as is, you know, we've talked about before, the checking all of my accounts. I kind of run down through that in the morning as I'm having a cup of coffee. And I open up NPass, and it goes trial version.
Interesting. I don't know what to tell you, but that's got to be a situation on their site. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to work with them.
I didn't know if there was something on my phone that might be...
But you were saying that you haven't changed anything or updated anything other than the newer version of NPass.
That's the only thing that, you know...
See if they've got, like I say, go to their website and see if they've got an older version.
I'll do that.
And then if they do, you can try that out, see if that works. And then you can call them back and say, hey, I rolled back to the previous version. Everything's working fine. You've got an issue with your current update.
Right. I will see if that's available. I don't
right. Well, as we have said, and Microsoft does the same thing. They use all of us users as beta testers. So when they're rolling stuff out, you know, they're hoping it's going to work, but depending on the various phones that are out there, they're no different than computers. There's such a big variety of phones and tablets and laptops and still the desktops that, you know, trying to get it to work with everything can be one heck of a juggling act.
I, on some previous issue that we talked about, your advice was to roll back from the 5G to the 4G or the LTE.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter and I have the same carrier. We were sitting on the couch side by side looking up a particular item that we wanted to investigate buying. And my phone said I had no internet service. And her phone was working perfectly. She has a 4G phone. I have a 5G phone. And she looked at me and said, well...
Yeah, well, see, 5G... But the thing of it is, though, is 5G, Fred, is very sketchy right now.
All the times that I have called the carrier to ask them, what do I do about it, never once did they say roll back to LTE. But that one piece of advice... I've not had any internet issues since you guys suggested rollback.
Yeah, because, like I say, 5G, you know, even though they tout that it's super fast and, you know, more power, it's also very, their ads are very deceptive in that they say, you know, oh, we got all this coverage. Yeah, they got coverage, but you got to be in sight. All you have to do is have a building get in your way, and all of a sudden you could lose service. It's because it is from point to point. You're seeing around the city and every place else, they're putting up towers all over the place, just polluting, you know, every building and everything else with all these towers and on building sides, putting the microwaves up there so they could get the 5G around because, you know, there's many dead spots.
Well, my point is that you guys have given advice that even the phone carrier would not give, and I appreciate that because
thank you.
The advice you gave worked. The advice they gave didn't work.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
All right.
You have a good one. Good luck.
You too. I'll get back to you if that doesn't work.
All right.
Thanks. I think we're streaming now. I think.
Are you streaming now? Are we live?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. It looks like we are. I believe we are. I'm ready to believe we are streaming. I don't know. I suppose if I logged on to Twitch or YouTube or something, I would know. There you go. Anyway, that's our, we're trying to get this thing to...
Wait a minute. I got a message here. Steve here at the office running the YouTube stream. Nick, you can get on camera if you want with the StreamYard link I sent to AskNick.com.
Yeah, I'm on. I'm on. I think it's working. It says I'm on, but it's not. I think there's got to be some other button I push, and I mute, stop cam settings, present, invite, leave studio. So I'm in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have no idea.
All this technology.
I'm in the studio, but it's not, I think, actually going. I don't know. It doesn't matter. There it is. Now it seems to be working. Now, there we are. Steve must have done something because I touched nothing. All right. All right. We're in. There it is.
You're on?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, I'm not going to talk politics here. I don't care. It's not important enough for us. So here we go. If you want to give us a call, it's 585. Do you have somebody waiting?
Nope.
585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And here we go. Now we'll read this news item. Amazon is expanding its music offering, opening up its full catalog of 100 million songs in Amazon Music to Prime subscribers at no extra charge. The company is also offering many of its in-house podcasts and a selection of others ad-free in the app. You'll just need a separate subscription if you want Amazon Music to really rival Spotify and Apple Music. But Amazon's service is becoming a seriously compelling sort of free option. The difference in tiers is all about access. All Prime members will be able to access the entire Amazon Music catalog, but not fully on demand. You can shuffle any artist, album, or playlist, Amazon says, but you can't just select a song and hit play.
Oh.
For that, and to play songs in higher fidelity or with spatial audio, you need a $9 a month subscription to Amazon Music Unlimited. A few playlists will be available on demand and for offline listening to non-upgraders, Amazon says, but it's not clear which ones. As free services go, though, Amazon Music is now essentially Spotify minus the ads for anyone already paying for Prime. Getting rid of ads seems to have been a focus for Amazon. It's also making a bunch of its podcasts available ad-free to Prime subscribers, including those from Wondery, the podcast studio Amazon acquired in 2020. Other shows from NPR, CNN, ESPN, and the New York Times will be available ad-free as well. Amazon is also working on podcast discovery. It's rolling out a new feature called Podcast Previews, which seems to be something like trailers for podcast episodes. You'll be able to listen to a short, digestible soundbite, they say, before deciding to dive into an episode, which Amazon thinks could help discovery. So, Tinder for podcasts, I guess. Swipe right. As ever with Amazon, much of what it launches is meant to convince more people to pony up $140 a year for Prime membership. Amazon Music is, by most measures, the third largest player in the music marketing, streaming market, behind Spotify and Apple Music. That market is only going to get tougher as YouTube Music continues to grow and with TikTok reportedly getting ready to launch a music service of its own. But Amazon is clearly all in on audio in general as it continues to push into podcasting and even live audio with AMP. Lots of companies want into this space, but few are doing it as widely and aggressively as Amazon. So are you tempted by Apple Music, Amazon Music? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Yeah, look, everybody wants your dollar, right? Mm-hmm. Amazon wants your $140 a year, $139, which is essentially $140 a year. My wife, as you may have heard me say more than once over the years, has a coffee stand at the Public Market every Saturday. Rain or shine, and she's there today, dishing up great coffee and chai and Tucson chai and Cafe Amelia and all kinds of great coffee, chai and regular tea and hot chocolate and just everything. So she gets, as you can imagine, a lot of supplies from Amazon. So she got Amazon Prime for free shipping, which saves her far more a year than it costs. So that was her decision.
It was a no-brainer.
Well, that, of course, came with Amazon Prime Video, which I appreciate.
Oh, I love that.
And now it will come with Amazon Prime Music.
Yep.
So I'm very excited about that.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Exactly. And so, you know, you get it for one specific thing. Am I muted? Why am I muted? I shouldn't be muted.
No.
I don't think I am muted, am I?
Not that I'm aware of. Not here. You're going out over the air.
I meant muted on this thing. I don't think I am muted. I don't think I am. Huh. All right, well, who knows?
All this technology.
Let's go over to StreamYard and see if I'm muted. I don't think I am. It doesn't say I am. If I click that, that mutes my mic. Now I'm unmuted. So no, I was not muted. excuse me. So that's our take. Amazon Music, you know, it's not 100% because you can't just say, you know, I want to listen to this song.
Right.
But you can listen to this artist.
Yeah.
And most people aren't listening to a specific song.
No, they like, you know, certain artists. And if they can select, you know, this, and this as artists, I would think.
Right, right. So you can say, you know, I want to listen to such and so, and it plays a whole album, or it just plays an artist on shuffle. And that's what most people want. So they've got that, and it's essentially, you know, if you've already got Amazon Music, Amazon Prime, for any reason, you've got all of it now. So that's a beautiful thing.
And that's that super warehouse that they have out there on Manitou.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy mackerel. That's got to be an 8-story building.
Yeah, it's enormous. And it's huge with acreage.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, matter of fact, I had to drop a gentleman off, and he's going, yeah, I have to look at that now. For decades, he lived right across the street from the new warehouse.
Yeah.
And there's all this fields and everything else. Now you open up his front door, he's staring right in the center. It's this view of this building.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, but so much for the neighborhood.
What's nice about that is depending on what you order, you can get it absolutely next day, not a problem.
He can go across the street.
Just walk across and...
Yeah. Pick it up.
Can I meet you at the median? We'll have a thing. But yeah, Amazon has become quite the powerhouse. Oh. You know, I have seen so many people who've said, oh yeah, I went to get such and so, they didn't have it, so I ordered it on Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Well, I just had to return. I got this one battery, this one good-sized battery, and I got it. And it was dead on arrival.
Yep.
I mean, it was deader than a doornail. So I went in there and said, hey, folks, I want to send this one back, and I want to try this other one. They said, okay. Boom. Within hours, I'm literally talking a few hours, I already had my refund plus the tax, and they gave me $10 towards back to shipping the battery back to them.
Nice.
And I had the replacement battery. Now, this was on a Friday. By Monday, the battery was sitting there on the mailbox for the replacement.
Yep. They're very, very good about that. And that's, you know, what makes them the powerhouse they are.
Yep.
All right. That music tells us you have wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense. But do not go away. There's another hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's right. It's Soundbites. Right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you, because we are solely member-supported, and you folks stepped up, and we hit our goal for this pledge drive. So thanks to each and every one of you who is generous enough, kind enough, willing to reach into your pockets and help us out. So don't go away. Take a quick bio break. You can certainly go away for a couple of minutes, but come on back in just a few minutes, because we're going to have a whole lot more sound bites with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is top of the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites on member supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester,
a public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, you are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. Soundbites. On member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Going along, we were talking off-air, and I was telling Nick how I went up. Such a gorgeous day yesterday. You know, I go up to Rendlesham Bay, and I was up there playing radio. And I get folks constantly, you know, there's the bike path and everything there. People come by and go, what are you doing? And, I tell them. So this one gentleman with a dog comes by, and we start talking and that. And he goes, oh, so you're into the ham radio? I go, yeah, yeah. He goes, yeah, I used to know a guy up on Empire that used to fix computers and all that type of stuff. Matter of fact, he did a program called, and I go, Soundbites? He goes, yeah, you know the program? I go, yeah, I'm Dave Enright. He goes, really? So I looked at my shirt and go, yeah.
That's funny.
He goes, I've been listening to you guys for years. He goes, back in the old days, even when you were over at XXI. And I go, well, thanks for continuing to listen. He goes, and I'm a member. And that was so cool.
That's the best.
Like we've told you folks before, you know, people get a lot of pride that, you know, when they see us or meet up with us and be able to sit there and say, oh, and by the way, I'm a member. Like you say, Nick has said, it's a badge of honor. And this guy just thought it was cool that he could sit there and say, yeah, and now I've met you.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And what a thrill that is.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Not.
I'm going to, don't forget, we said we'd mention this at the top of the hour. Don't forget, your clocks fall back. So you have to remember.
Because you might be getting up at,
right,
say, 7 o'clock to go to 8 o'clock mass, and you're going to wind up getting there at 7 o'clock the real time and be sitting there waiting a long time.
And it used to be, at least if you were Roman Catholic, that there was a 7 and an 8 and a 9 and a 10.
Not anymore.
Not so much anymore. But so what you need to do is remember that all of your electronic devices will probably set just fine. Your computer, your laptop, your phone, your watch, your digital watch, smartwatches. Like that, but any analog devices or any digital devices that aren't connected to the internet, you might have a wall clock or a desktop clock or that sort of thing. Certainly your car.
Yeah, the car is notorious for that.
So this afternoon, when you finish your errands, before you get out of the car at home, grab the manual and refresh yourself as to what you got to do tomorrow. To reset your clock, because most people won't remember.
Or if you're done for the day, and as you're getting out of the car, do it right then and there.
Why not?
And then, that's one more thing you can check off your list that's done.
Future you will thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On Tuesday, Dropbox disclosed a security breach.
Ugh.
Yeah. Threat actors stole 130 code repositories after gaining access to one of its GitHub accounts using employee credentials stolen in a phishing attack. The company discovered the attacker's breach the account on October 14th when GitHub notified it of suspicious activity that started one day before the alert was sent. To date, this is a quote, "To date, our investigations have found that the code accessed by this threat actor contains some credentials primarily API keys used by Dropbox developers, Dropbox said on Tuesday. The code and the data around it are also included a few thousand names and email addresses belonging to Dropbox employees, current and past customers, sales leads, and vendors. For context, Dropbox has more than 700 million registered users, so a few thousand isn't a big deal, but it's still a deal. The successful breach resulted, certainly for those people who actually got hacked. The successful breach resulted from a phishing attack that targeted multiple Dropbox employees, redirecting them to a phishing landing page where they were asked to enter GitHub username and password. On the same phishing page, the employees were also asked to use their hardware authentication key to pass a one-time password. After stealing the Dropboxer's credentials, the attackers gained access to one of Dropbox's GitHub organizations and stole 130 of its code repositories. That's the actual background code that runs Dropbox and lets them do everything, including get at users and everything else. Yeah, that's the gold standard right there. Dropbox says the attackers never had access to customer accounts, passwords, or payment information. Of course, as I just said, they have instead access to the code that gives them access to that stuff. And its core apps and infrastructure were not directly affected as a result of this breach. They have the code, but they didn't change anything on the website yet. In response to this incident, Dropbox is working on securing its entire environment, which, frankly, they should have done already, since in September, other GitHub users were also targeted in a similar attack. So are you still feeling secure about Dropbox? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. The other question is, if you're not using Dropbox, what are you using? Because remember, you don't have enough backups, and one of them at least should be in the cloud somewhere. So what are you using? Yep. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Maybe you can answer this one. Steve has been texting us, and he says, make sure Nick's audio is set to USB input, not it doesn't echo with the live stream.
Okay. Yeah, I'm set to USB audio device analog stereo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ochidoch.
That's where I see the other one's working too. Ah, that's why. There we go. That should do it. They're both working now. Just one is working. Echo. Yeah, there you go. Let me know if that fixed it.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it now.
Yeah, all right. Okay, we're good then. But yeah, so remember, as it says on asknick.com/backup.php, you don't have enough backups. And you need to follow the 3-2-1 plan. Three different backups in two different places, one of which is online.
What I've done is I've got four different Google IDs.
Mm-hmm.
4 times 15.
That's 60 gig right there.
Yeah, free.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I use one of them for my ham radio stuff. I do another one for the wife and another one for my stuff. So we, have plenty of storage. As a matter of fact, for the personal stuff, for what I back up, I be in a hog and take the fourth account and do another backup to that one. So literally, I'm doing four different backups because I've got, hard drives at home, two hard drives at home, a Raspberry Pi, and then I've got the two off sites. So, right. I've got it covered four ways from Sunday. To back up Money Dance, and because that's the key one. I mean, otherwise, my documents are all on Google Cloud. I don't do anything that saves there because I like being able to, at a moment's notice, if I need to look at something, I'll log into my Google account, go over to documents or a spreadsheet, and look something up, and it's there. Whether I'm working on my tablet or my phone, it doesn't matter. And I could be off somewhere, at some other site and get at it. So it makes it very convenient to be able to have that flexibility. And the photos, they automatically go up. And with Google Prime, you know, it's all there. So I don't, you know, if the computer crashes, it used to be a big major thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, oh, shoot, there goes all my emails and everything else. Since I moved over to Google, it's like, yeah, no big deal. Just log into my Google account. There's all my bookmarks. There's all my photos. There's all my documents. And, you know, I put NPass on. It remembers all my passwords. I'm good to go. So I might have to just install some other programs that I want to use.
Right.
And that's no big deal. Whereas before, oh, it was a pain in the butt.
Every once in a while, I go to Google Takeout, which used to be called the Google Data Liberation Front. Google got boring. But I go to Google Takeout and I download my stuff. Mm-hmm. You can download everything if you want to. So I download all my pictures. I download all my documents. It takes a long time, even on Greenlight.
Yep.
But you can download all that stuff. You tell them, zip it up and send it to me, and they make X number of zip files, 2 gig each.
Mm-hmm.
And you can download them. And every once in a while, I download them and throw them on a hard drive on one of my Raspberry Pis so that I have that backup entirely separate, even from Google.
Mm-hmm.
And that means I've got all my documents, all my photos and everything. So I've got my Google photos. They also back up to Amazon Photo because that's another free benefit since we're already paying for Prime.
Now, that'll do it automatically?
From your phone, yes.
Oh, from your phone.
Right. So you put the Amazon Prime photo, put the Amazon Photo app on your phone and it works exactly the same way that the Google Photo
okay.
does.
Because I was trying to set that up for my wife because she takes pictures with an actual camera.
Well, then I don't know if under Windows there's an app for that.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find one.
You can certainly drag and drop.
Yeah, that's what I've had to do.
Yeah.
Just as another, you know, third.
There's no reason not to.
Well, after she lost, because of Windows doing an update, she lost 18,000.
Mm-hmm.
18,000 headstone pictures over that whole year that she had taken and was going to work on during the winter months, gone. Because, Microsoft in their wisdom, we'll just move the stuff over. Well, they moved it over to some place, but they didn't bring it back.
Right.
That one folder that had all those photos in there.
Right.
And now I got her, first thing she does when she comes home, boom, she copies it to two other locations. One's off-site and one's down on the Raspberry Pi, besides putting it on her desktop.
Yep, that's the way to do it. Three updates.
She's, and she says, yeah, it only takes a few minutes, especially with Greenlight.
It's simple.
Silly not to.
I would imagine those 18,000 pictures would have taken a long time, but when you're doing a dozen, two dozen, five dozen, Saturday afternoon or whatever, it's fast.
Well, she goes out there and, a lot of these headstones and gravesites and that, they're not well kept up.
Right.
So I think it's about 3-4 years ago, I got her a battery-operated weed whacker. So because before she was using scissors. No. So we got her the weed whacker. Now she can sit there and trim around it, brush it off, and take a decent picture to post up to Ancestry and find a grave. Because a lot of folks are very popular now getting into, the Ancestry and everything else. You see it on TV.
Hold on. What was just going on the YouTube? Was that Steve? Yeah, it was Steve. Okay. All right. Sorry. I just, you were going through your something there. I don't know what that was, but Steve is here. Steve is clearly one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest, hiding in a bunker somewhere, waiting out the apocalypse. I can't hear you. I'm sure you're going out over the air, but I can't hear you hearing this. So somebody just called and then got dropped somehow?
No, I
Wouldn't answer. Whoever that was, call back.
Her name was Larry.
We'll try it again. Call back. He thinks it might have been Larry, so call back, Larry. I don't know. We don't know what happened there. The phone system here has been acting a little oddly, just a little bit. Right. Right. I will say that since Steve was kind enough to put WordFence on soundbites.org, it's working much better, but I must get 2,000 emails an hour from it. It's ridiculous. All right, maybe it's not quite 2,000 an hour, but it's a few.
Just out of curiosity, how did you make out last week? Remember you were having an issue?
I was having an issue. That issue is resolved.
Okay.
With the website. Everything is fine again. My websites, I have no problems with because Soundbites is a WordPress site. And many of the things that we use to keep it running are add-ons. Every once in a while, there's a security breach. And one hit us, and it took me quite a while to fix it. But it's fixed now, and it looks like with WordFence running, we're a little better off. So we'll see. We'll see how long it takes. But, you know, WordPress has issues. It's the same, you know, it's the same with Windows, the same with Linux, same with Mac.
Like anything else.
When you run the thing clean, that is to say with nothing else installed, it's pretty secure. The minute you start adding third-party products, all bets are off.
You're introducing other issues.
That's right. And so, you know, it can happen. When somebody gets hacked, my question is always, why? If the problem was because some third-party app that they needed to run their site got hacked and they got in that way, okay, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. But if, like, with what just happened to Dropbox, it was their own people who rather stupidly gave away information that allowed the hackers to get in. That's a whole different story.
That's like giving them the keys to the back locker room and letting them in.
That's exactly, and holding the door open for them.
Yeah. Need help there?
Mm-hmm. Can I carry that for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to be aware, you want to be careful, but you know, the fact is anybody can get hacked at any time. If it's, depending on how you got hacked or why you got hacked, I either have sympathy for you or I do not. It's literally quite literally that simple. You can't do without that way. So, be careful when you're setting up a website. Be careful when you're adding things. What the heck was that noise?
That's the noise it's been making. So it's been acting funny.
Be careful of what you're adding. Pay attention. It doesn't hurt to keep a little log of what you've added when. You know, we get a whole lot of people who say, what changed? Oh, nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
And then on the other hand, you say to them, well, what's this program? Oh, I added that yesterday. That's a change.
Yeah. Or even... they'll confuse also an update. That is a change.
Right.
You know, you've installed something, but people don't quite relate that to, you know, something. That's a change. I'm just updating.
Right.
No, that's a change.
Right. And so anytime you make a change to your machine or a change gets made to your machine, just make a note of it. So when you call us and say this isn't working, we can say what's changed. You've got a list.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Art from Rochester, New York. What's up, Art?
Hi, Nick. I have a question, curiously, about change.
There you go.
I was doing a fresh install of Ubuntu 22.04.
Yep.
Xubuntu. I guess my question is, I heard you mention this in passing perhaps a few weeks ago, something about snaps. I'm just curious what your opinion is on snaps. I'm having my first experiences with them, and I'm getting frustrated.
Yes, you will be. Okay, so for everybody else, there are three main, I want to say, there are 15 or 20, but there are three main ways that software gets installed in a Linux machine. One is directly, which is the way it's been for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's something called flat packs and something else called snaps. Snaps and flat packs are essentially the same concept, although they work differently. They're a fully contained version of the program. So normally when you install something, it may use, if you're a Windows person, you're familiar with the term DLL, Dynamic Link Library. Multiple programs share the same library. And a problem can happen if one program updates that library and a different program wanted a different version of that mm-hmm. library. In a flat pack or a snap, all of the dependencies are packaged along with the snap, and they essentially create a new drive whenever you run them. And there's the problem. Starting that essentially new drive so it can run itself with all its dependencies takes time. And it depends on how much disk space you have and how much RAM you have and how fast your machine is, how fast your hard drive is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as to how long it takes a snap to boot up. And particularly these days, when Ubuntu itself runs so well and so quickly, you start up an Ubuntu program and it comes right up.
There.
You start a flat pack or a snap, and it takes a few seconds, and it's annoying. That's the problem I have with it. The idea is very sound. The idea is that if I'm running, for example, I run Beekeeper Studio to manage all my online databases. That's a snap, and it takes a minute to start up. But once it does, I never have to worry about, did I update something that bothers it? Is it not going to run correctly? Is something going to change? It runs. And those get updated as well. But that update is, again, a complete package. So I get why they do it. Ubuntu is in love with snaps. Everybody else loves flat packs. But that's, you know, tomato. But that's the thing with snaps. They are annoyingly slow to start up, but the idea is they're worry-free both for the developer and the user. What's been your experience, Art?
Well, curiously, I do see that slight hesitation that you mentioned, but that's not actually my concern. It's that it actually doesn't start up. What I'm doing is VNCing into the box. Do you know about that error?
I have not experienced that, but I'm given to understand that some snaps don't work anywhere but on the zero display, which is the desktop.
Right, so exactly. So Firefox and Chrome don't start, so that's kind of a showstopper for me. And yeah, I see an error report on Ubuntu, and you know, people are just saying, you're not me.
Yeah. You should be able to run either of those programs natively by uninstalling the snap and then installing the regular version.
Right. So that this gets to the philosophical question I was really trying to get at with you is, I figured out how to install the native Firefox. I've seen how to also disable Snap entirely. But this is a fresh install, and I was kind of hoping for like a nice, easy-to-use, stable box. And it seems as though moving forward, I'm going to be fighting this. So I guess my question is, should I just give up and move to a different distro?
You might need to. The reality is that Ubuntu loves Snaps. And they're not going to give them up anytime soon.
Do you think that's going to spread to other distros? Or is it
other distros like Flatpak. So I don't know where that's going to go in the future.
Okay. Okay, thanks for your advice. I hear the music. Keep on going.
All right, thanks. All right, Art is correct. There's the music. We're going to take a quick break, but don't go too far. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, Steve Ray somewhere in the Southwest, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And this is it, the last half hour. But you still have plenty of time to give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. While we talk to Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Good afternoon, guys. In the last segment, you guys were talking about backing up. And I think Dave mentioned that he backs up to his Raspberry Pi.
Mm-hmm.
Since I happen to have several of them, probably too many now.
There's no such thing,
no,
Larry.
No,
come
no,
on.
No. Never enough.
Look, if you think you've got too many, give a couple to me.
Well,
they're hard to find now.
Yeah.
They're not making them right now, Larry.
I know, and I'm glad I went on a binge during the height of the pandemic and started buying.
Yep.
My question is, you said something about backing up to the Pi.
Yeah.
iMac, the M1, and I want, how do you do that?
Well, what you mainly want to do first is attach a large drive to it, whether that's a spinning drive, because you don't really care how slow it is,
right?
Or an SSD drive or a really big thumb drive or, you know, whatever, however you're going to do it. You need some form of big storage.
Yep. Mine's three Raspberry Pi 4s. And one of them has a terabyte, and the other two have 2 terabyte SSD hard drives too.
Right. And then what you do is you put it on your network.
Okay. Right?
So it's on your network, and depending on your system, you're running Windows, right?
No, I'm running. I got an iMac, so Apple.
Oh, okay. You should be able to see them in the network, the network manager, whatever they call that on a Mac.
It shows whatever's hooked up to my little home network.
Right. And so in my particular, first on the Raspberry Pi itself, you have to mount that drive.
Right.
So once it's mounted, you should be able to go all the way out to the root directory.
Uh-huh.
And then down to media.
Okay.
And then Pi, because that's usually the login name for Raspberry Pis.
Right.
And under that, you should see the folder for that big drive.
Oh, okay.
So when you open that, you can now drag and drop or do whatever you want to it.
Yeah. See, on the Windows, I just created a couple scripts that just sit there and grab all the stuff on this one partition and just copies it over to the Raspberry Pi. And I have it do it every night.
You should take a look as to whether or not Time Machine will do that. Steve might know, but I don't know if Time Machine will work with a non-Apple
device
drive. I don't know that.
I get the impression that it probably won't, but then I'm not an expert at it either.
Right.
Some things Apple is really claustrophobic about. So,
right.
When he talked about, I already have another offline service, iDrive, that I back up to every evening. And then, of course, Time Machine is almost backing up more than I want it to, quite frankly. But still, when he mentioned the Raspberry Pi, I said, here's another way to back up and have it in-house.
You don't have enough backups, Larry.
And
everybody else.
And I also back up to, if you've got various Google accounts.
Yeah,
I do. Each Google account comes with 15 gig of free storage.
Hmm.
So, you know, you could, like, I've got four different accounts. So I take and go one for my wife, one for me, one for my ham radio, and then, oh, me again to back up the financial stuff. So, you know, it's 15 gig free. There's 60 gig of free storage to, you know, save documents or in this case, for my wife, it's the photos. For me, it's the financial stuff from Money Dancer.
Oh, you know what? I take that back. I did set it up to do that. I've been lately paranoid, and so I do back up the Google Drive.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. But it just intrigued me when you said the Raspberry Pi. So I said, let me call and see how that's done. So mm-hmm. I'm in front of the PC, but as soon as I get home, I'm going to jump on it and see what I can do.
You know, like I say, I've got SSD hard drives, and like Nick was saying, they don't have to be fast, but I just happened to get a great deal. It was at the holidays on Amazon Prime that they had a sale on the SSD hard drives, so I wound up getting two of the 2 gig and one of the one. And saved quite a bit of money, and boom, there we go.
I pulled some old drives out of old laptops, and I've got a 1 terabyte and a 500 gig.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can. And then, you know, I bought enclosures on Amazon that are USB 3. And so, you know, that's fast, although the drives themselves are spinning drives, so they're not that fast.
See, I was lucky in as far as justifying the 2 terabyte is it was mainly for the wife's photos.
Absolutely.
She had just lost them.
This is for you, honey.
And it's going to be super fast, and you're going to have plenty of space. She goes, then get it. Oh, okay.
Yes, we'll dear. Absolutely.
Got it. And, oh, also ordered me 2 other drives.
And for those of you who don't have Raspberry Pis or are looking for a different online backup, may I suggest you head on over to asknick.com/backup.php. And you can check out, it's also one of the links right at the top of our website at soundbites.org. One of the things that I mentioned is pCloud, which is $4 a month. What is that? $50 a year, something like that, 40 something a year. It's for half a terabyte, which is more than enough for most people.
Yeah.
And I use that as well. It is a lifetime, you can get a lifetime subscription for half a terabyte or 2 terabytes. And again, it's set and forget, buy and forget, and ubiquitous. Done. You can use it on Windows, Mac, Linux, or all of those at once. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I bought it, set it up. It backs up everything automatically. Anytime I create a new drive or I download a new photo or, any of those things, it's automatically, instantly, without me thinking of it, backed up to the cloud. Done. And
I appreciate the tip, and I'll get right on it.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have fun. That's the kind of thing that we recommend. We're all human, and so we make mistakes, and we forget, and we procrastinate. If you get something that automates it for you and does all the work for you, then you don't have to forget. You don't have to remember. You can't forget. You can't procrastinate. You can't screw it up once it's set up correctly. So, you know, for example, I use rsync to back up to multiple sources as well. And so that's super fast, super
good
easy.
You go.
Very simple thing to do. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Sherry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Sherry?
Hi. I have a Pixel 3 XL, and I'm looking to get the Pixel 7. My question is, does everything transfer over, like the text messages? That's what I'm concerned with.
The theory is yes. And because you are using Pixel, if you are using Google's messaging app, then all of that stuff is saved. Two things.
Yeah.
All right. First, it's all saved in the cloud, Google's cloud. You can set it up to do that. So they would come back normally. Also, and Dave is about to tell you
this.
Yeah,
when you get the new Pixel, they also come with a cable that you hook up from one to the other. And that'll move over your apps and your text messages and everything else.
Oh, well, is that how you normally do it, like when you transfer phones?
That's what I did from my original Pixel to the Pixel. I've got a 3A, and it's looking like I might get a 6A in the near-distant future because, like my previous phone, the battery is slowly dying. That I charge it up, and before even noon, I'm down to 50% or less.
Right, that's my problem, too.
Yeah, so I'm going to the 6A because the 6 is quite a bit cheaper than the 7. And I don't need all the features of the 7. And, you know, like I was looking at some of the ads for the 7 right now, and they're saying, oh, yeah, you can get it through, say, Verizon with signing a 5-year contract application.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, oh, heck no.
Right. But if you can afford a 7, it's a great phone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've done the same thing. One of my phones, the battery was completely dead, so I couldn't do that. But in that case, because I'd been using Google's messaging system, it brought back all my stuff because I'd set it up to save it in the cloud. But if you've got that, if it's still got enough battery, you should be able to hook the two together with the cable. Are you buying this online somewhere, or are you going to one of the...
No, I was going to buy it through Google, just, you know.
Yeah, right. So you'll be doing this yourself. You should get, if they don't have it, just get yourself a USB-C to USB-C cable and hook the two together. It should be fine.
Like I say, mine came...
With the cable. Yeah, it should.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I wasn't using Google's Messenger because it doesn't have enough features in it, so I was using something else.
That's not going may not transfer over.
But that's the other advantage of the cable. It'll bring over a lot of the programs.
Yeah, but I'm not going to promise it brings over the data.
No, I won't guarantee, but you can try it and see, because I had good luck of bringing the data and the information on certain programs.
What I would suggest you do, though, Sherry, is just in case.
Yeah, back up.
Go into that app that you are using for messages and see if there's an export feature.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, I've tried to go back to Google Messenger with the message app I'm using now, and all the messages come back into Google Messenger. So, you know, I can kind of go back and forth with those.
Oh, there you go.
That's nice.
But now that I didn't realize that Google can back up the messages. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to do that, you know, before I get the phone and transfer. I'll have to check into how that's done.
Right. But also, like I said, in whatever message program you're using, check to see if there's an export feature. And that should export all the messages to a file, which you can then copy anywhere, and then on the new phone, if they don't come over, you've got a backup that you can import back into the new phone.
Right. I don't think it does, but...
Yeah, well, take a look, just to be sure.
Yeah, but you're saying if I use Google Messenger, are you saying that it automatically backs
up your messages? Now you're going to make me look. I think you have to tell it, save a copy on the... I don't want that. I want this. No, I don't want that. Just click on anything. That's probably your best bet.
Okay.
No, I'm talking to myself there. Sorry. Okay, so if I go into... That's messages. Yeah, I don't know where it got set up. Oh, maybe it got set up in settings. Now, there's an idea.
What a concept.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on. Messages.
Live and without a net, folks.
Messages, contacts, priority conversations, none. Huh. That's contacts. I did not want contacts, thank you very much. I wanted conversations. No. It must be automatic. I don't know. I apologize. I do not know.
But it does have that feature. It can.
Yeah, because it works for me.
Okay. All right, I didn't even realize that. All right. Okay, I will look into that. And, yeah, Google has a thing going on until the 28th of November where you trade in your old phone. Like, I think I can get, like, over $200 for my Pixel 3 XL.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's why I'm jumping on it, but I have to do it before the 28th.
Yeah, go for it. But see if you can, see if it has a backup, has an export feature in your current messaging app, and that should match with an input feature. So when you move things over, if it doesn't work, to bring them over automatically, you can do an import.
What version of the 7 you looking at?
Just the regular 7, not the Pro. That's way too expensive.
Yeah, what, you know? That's like $900?
Yeah, because the 7 is, I think, is like $599, and then I'll get like over $200 refund for
no, that's not a, yeah, that's not a bad idea that way.
Hmm. Yeah.
But so, see, I like the A's. I've always stuck with the A's because they're a little bit bigger screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's just me. I mean, I'm old.
Well, I mean, I wanted the bigger RAM and the, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure, no, I absolutely get that.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. So, okay, thanks for your help. I am a member.
That's what we like to hear.
Yay.
All right, have a good afternoon.
You
thanks,
too.
You too. Yeah, I'm sure it's in there somewhere, and I set it up somewhere.
Well, it's so long ago.
Yeah, I just don't remember.
Well, like you say, a lot of it, it's automatic. Google makes it so easy just to have it automatically do it, just like Google Photos. It's automatically the default that once you start taking pictures on your phone, it's uploading them to Google Photos.
Right.
And, you know, it's a great safeguard because, as we have said so many times, you can never have enough backups of your photos. Documents and all that stuff, yeah, I don't worry about those as much. I mean, they're important, don't get me wrong. But the key ones are photos. Because once you lose those, folks, those moments in history for you are gone. There's no bringing them back. There's no recreating that special moment with this person or that person because, you know, you didn't find the time to back it up. So if you can't find the time, evidently it wasn't as important as your. I'd have folks come in stressing to me, oh, I got to get it back. Well, because you couldn't take the time then. We can't take the time now to recreate something that
right.
is not there.
The other interesting thing for me is with the Google Messaging app, you can use messages for the web.
Mm-hmm.
It's at messages.android.com. You sign in with the same username, password, etc., and you connect your messages on your phone to your desktop or laptop. What that lets me do is when somebody sends me a picture I want to keep, I go right onto my laptop, on my desktop, in my case, and connect messages for web. There it is, and I can say save it right mm-hmm. to my folders, which then, of course, automatically backs it up to pCloud. And so now I've got it. You know, whenever, when my daughter, when I, many, many, many years ago, when I was going to my thesis defense for my master's degree, my daughter sent me a lovely message about it, you know, wishing me well and mm-hmm. pumping me up and all of that stuff. Well, you think I want that to disappear ever?
Oh, heck no.
So I downloaded it and saved it. So that's messages for web. So I know it works with Google Messenger or messages or whatever they say, but... I do not think it works with anything else. There may be another app you could use, but that's another thing I like about Google. They very much like what Apple does. They have an ecosystem, and they're trying to get everything to work together in the same way.
So, yeah, and even with their updates and everything else, I've never experienced anything that has, you know, due to their updates and that type of stuff, messed things up.
Right.
Unlike Windows.
The only time I had that problem is on one of my old phones. The phone, again, was dying. Battery was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And it died during the update. Well, that's not Google's fault. That's
no,
just
that's,
life.
Yeah, that's...
But yeah, so my, you know, our suggestion is whatever phone you're using, see if there is something that lets you back up all the stuff that's on it. Again, if it's photos, you can use Amazon Prime or Google Photos or, you know, whatever you want to back all that stuff up. But things like messages, you know, I've got a couple of voicemails from folks who have sadly passed. I certainly wanted to keep those, and I could do that with messages for web and download them and keep them. I often, when I'm sitting at my desk, have messages for web open on my browser so that I can type my responses to people instead of the little tick, 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 tick. Yeah. You know, I'm sitting there. I'm a touch typist, so I can type my responses much quicker that way.
Or dictate it.
Or I can dictate it on either device, absolutely. But, yeah, so there are lots of features available to you that you may not be aware of, or even if you were aware, you weren't really thinking about why you might want them. But the fact is that there are lots of features out there that you should probably be thinking of taking advantage of before you get to the point where you're calling up sound bites and saying, I've lost all my data.
And the other thing, too,
what do I do now?
Is once you take the time to set this stuff up, you know, whether it's up, you know, backing up photos or documents or that type of stuff, it's not set it up and totally forget it. Periodically, you know, whether you set up a reminder or that type of stuff on a calendar, is go in and check it. Verify that things are there, they're getting changed or updated, or the photos, all of a sudden, you know, are stopped going up. You know, that doesn't do you any good if all of a sudden something dies and you assumed that it was being uploaded there and, oh, gee, something must have changed. Because quite often on phones, when they do updates, like you heard one of our callers just at the beginning of the show, with his NPass, all of a sudden now stuff isn't working as it was before because things can change. So periodically get in the habit of taking the time, just briefly go in and make sure that stuff is getting there.
Yep. Once in a while, I will just open up Google Photos and make sure that the last photos I took are up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a minute at most if you're if you've got a really slow connection. And it's very, very satisfying to see, oh yeah, there they are. I can stop worrying. I don't have to think about it. Like we've said many, many times, nowadays you are a systems administrator. Whether you're getting paid to be one or not, you are a system administrator. And the system that you're administering is your own. And that, and there's a lot of stuff that a sysadmin has to do, and a lot of responsibility that they have to take. So you need to be aware of all of that, and you need to deal with it. You can't assume anything anymore, and you certainly can't just let it slide and hope it's there. Among those things is your backups. Backup, backup, backup.
Never have too many.
Right. And right. You need to go to asknick.com/backup.php. And check that out, and make sure you're following the plan, the 3-2-1 plan, and that you have good backups. And of course, that's the other thing. Every once in a while, go grab a file and see if it's correct to make sure that you do indeed. Not only do you have a backup, that is to say, the file name is out there, but that you also actually have the file itself and that it's a good copy of that file. So it doesn't have to be, you know, every file. It doesn't have to be a huge file. But you should check a different file, say, once a week. On a Sunday afternoon, you're just sitting there. Grab one of those backups and see if it's got a good file in it. That's how that works. And that should save you a lot of heartache down the line. Because these are devices. They're mechanical, physical devices. And they die. And you want to make sure that you've got good backups. All right. That music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, who actually stayed awake for a vast portion of the show today.
Yeah.
I'm Nick Francesco. We want to thank Steve Ray for not being... No. We'll see. Sorry. But that's it. We're done for another week. Thank you all so much. Have a great week. Do your backups. Do your backups. Do your backups. And we will see you back here in just 100. Oh, we will see you back here in 167 hours this week. Be good to one another, will you?